is the story of a boy named Ted. If his mother said Ted be good, he would.
Ron, as you know, 85 years ago on Tuesday, Ted Stevens was born.
And his mother said,
Ted, be good, and he would.
He would. 40 of the 50 years that Alaska has been a state, Ted Stevens has been in the Senate representing that state.
And who appointed him to the Senate?
Welcome to It's All Politics from NPR News. I'm Ron Elving.
And I'm Ken Rudin.
And it was Walter Hickel.
Walter Hickel.
Or Mike Gravel.
They were only two Alaskans that we know of. But Walter Hickel appointed
Ted Stevens
to the Senate in
1968.
December of 68 after E.L. Bob Bartlett died.
Oh, that was the tragic loss of E.L. Bob Bartlett.
And his twin brother died, too. You know
Is
about
that
the
right?
You know about the Bartlett pairs?
The Bartlett pair.
The Bartlett pair.
You know about the Bartlett pair.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
We joke. We laugh. But, hey, worst birthday ever.
Well, we laugh, but we don't joke.
The 85th birthday. They do the final count. They determine that, in fact, the lead that Mark Begich has over him for the Senate seat is insurmountable.
Cannot be reversed.
It's insuperable.
And then, of course, the Republicans in the Senate, they postponed this vote, but Jim DeMint...
Which clearly meant that they might very well vote to expel him from the Republican conference if they were to vote that day, but why do it if he's going to be defeated
exactly.
by the voters? So they put it all aside.
So
I've had birthdays like that.
But you know, so that's right. You're 85th, I believe. You're 85th.
My 85th was one of my worst.
But you know what the saddest thing about Ted Stevens losing?
No.
Is that he can...
the saddest thing?
Because if he had won, then he could resign, and then we could have more Sarah.
You know, I think there were probably a certain number of political junkies like yourself and myself, Ken, who were actually kind of pulling for Ted to get this one just out of the fire so that they could have the opportunity to see Sarah run for a seat.
But the good news for the Democrats, that's a pickup of 7. A good news for Ken Rudin, because Ken Rudin predicted Mark Begich.
You predicted Mark Begich.
I predicted every Senate race.
58 was my Senate number. 58 was my Democratic number in the Senate. We could both still be wrong because Georgia could still go Democratic on December 2nd. Wouldn't bet on it. Would bet against it. Think the Democrat will
I'm not sure what's going to happen. I think
short.
You're right, but I'm not sure what's going to happen. And who knows what's going to happen
in Minnesota. All we know about Georgia is it's going to be very hard to get all those African-American votes back out with Barack Obama no longer on the ballot. I mean, Barack Obama may support Jim Martin. Of course, he does. He may go down and campaign for him, although I doubt he will. And yet, is that enough to get all those black people out to vote again? I doubt it.
But think of what happened in Indiana, other districts where there's not a large African-American population, where Democrats picked up seats.
This is Georgia.
Okay.
We're talking Georgia.
Okay.
I just think Saxe Chambliss can probably go ahead and put it in another lease on his house in Washington,
D.C. So that leaves Georgia and Minnesota. Two Senate races have not been called.
That's right. And Minnesota is still really very hard to call. They're recounting.
Oh, recount. Hand recount.
Hand recounting as we speak. Right. One, two, and then they will give us a winner,
right.
I guess. Are the Democrats really all that eager to have Al Franken in their number?
Yes. I think they are. I mean, there are some things he say that you want to just, you know, hide under a bed and run away from Al Franken.
Well, I'm sure he'll never do that again once he's in a United States Senator.
Well, and Joe Biden won't embarrass the Democrats either. But
yeah, not the vice president.
Would the Democrats rather have Al Franken or Norm Coleman? They would rather have Al Franken. Yes. No question.
All right. How about Joe Lieberman? Would they rather have Joe Lieberman or would they rather have Joe Lieberman?
The fascinating thing about that whole thing is that, first of all, it was like 42-13. The vote.
The secret vote.
Now, wait a second.
I know. It's a secret who the 42 people were. And it's a secret who the 13 were, sort of. But the number comes out.
But isn't
they don't
that
try
fascinating,
to keep that.
Though? That's what's fascinating
well,
is that
what happened
in a
was
secret ballot, why didn't more Democrats vote against him? This is the man who not only endorsed John McCain, spoke at the Republican convention, but basically said the Democratic nominee for president, Barack
Obama, not qualified.
Not qualified.
Yeah, and really got very personal about it after saying he wouldn't do so. I could imagine a scenario by which the Democrats would have been much more vengeful. And I must say, I was wrong. I thought they really would give him a real penalty. I thought they would take away the Homeland Security Committee. But you know why I was wrong? I was wrong for another reason, which was I didn't realize that Barack Obama was going to actually weigh in and tell people, I want you to vote to keep Joe Lieberman in. Why did he do that?
He wanted to put the bitterness behind him. This is a new beginning.
Okay.
New beginning.
That sounds great.
I think
but is that really the way the game is played? Isn't Rahm Emanuel supposed to be his chief of staff?
The guy who never
forgets
anything.
Vengeance? Well, all right, but Rahm Emanuel and Joe Lieberman are not two guys who would be at odds on too many issues. They're a couple of guys who agree on many issues and both supported the war in Iraq, which is kind of the beginning of Joe Lieberman's apostasy in the Democratic Party and why he got driven out.
Can I just say one thing? Because I think people who listen to the podcast are fans of NPR. Nora Rahm. If Nora Rahm married Rahm Emanuel, her name would be Nora Emanuel. Isn't that something? Okay, so Joe Lieberman remains a Democrat. Does Hillary Clinton remain a senator?
Does Hillary Clinton remain a senator? I would say not if she becomes Secretary of State. But, you know, Ken, I got a call from one of Hillary's supporters, you know, the other day, and they said Hillary's not really sure she wants to be Secretary of State. Sure, it's the most prestigious position in the cabinet. Of course, the problem that Hillary has is that she hasn't actually been given the job. She is still out there waiting like a job applicant outside in the lobby while Barack Obama decides her fate. She doesn't like that.
They're not vetting Hillary Clinton, though.
Well, they're vetting Mr. Hillary
exactly.
Clinton. And that's the problem. Because as it was in the campaign, the big question is, what would Bill do and what would Bill not do? And, of course, right now we're worried about what he would do in the daytime with his various globetrottings and
money
raising. Oh, he's been making enormous amounts of money giving speeches, and also he's got this global initiative, which may be a very fine thing, certainly is a high-minded thing as far as we know, but which does involve him with foreign governments. How could he do that and it not be a conflict of interest for the Secretary of State, his wife?
Although it's interesting, why was that not a conflict of interest as Hillary was running for president?
But
it's
I think a lot of people thought it was. Yeah. But at the time, she was a United States senator and prospectively a president. And Bill Clinton made it clear that were she elected president, which he strongly recommended, that he would give up these other activities. Now the question is, does he have to give them up if she's not president, but she is working for the president?
Theoretically, she could be what Teddy Kennedy became after he ran for president in law. So he became a Senate lifer. He became somebody...
The lion of the Senate.
The lion of the Senate.
There are other positions to be filled in the cabinet. A lot of people are speculating about Bob Gates. We're staying on for a while as Secretary of Defense. But then let's move on
Before you move on, is this the change we wanted? Is this the change we demanded?
Well, not if you talk to most of Barack Obama's voters. One of the top reasons they gave for voting for Barack Obama was because they thought he'd get us out of Iraq. Right. So we're going to get the guy who's administering the war and who's in charge of the Pentagon and is running the war. I say... Very possibly we will. And very possibly he knows how to get us out better than anyone else.
Gates or Barack Obama or the
two of them. Robert Gates. Yeah. I mean, seriously, this is a guy who has been almost universally applauded for his handling of the multitudinous controversies inside that five-sided building between the services, between the uniformed services.
That building was Watergates.
Between the uniformed services and the non-uniformed services. And you've got all kinds of problems with Congress, problems with other countries around the world, two wars to run, and the guy is almost universally admired for the job that he's done. I say give him a few more months to handle the transition and then promote his deputy. That would probably be Richard Danzig.
But the agreement that apparently was worked out with the Iraqi legislature that all troops out by 2011,
yes.
I mean, that seems like a done deal. And it almost seems like President Bush is kind of trying to facilitate that as well, which is interesting.
I think... The problem with the 2011 is it's probably too reasonable. It's not going to please the people who want us out immediately.
And that's
the ones in Iraq as well as the ones in this country. And then it's probably not going to please the people who will be unhappy to see the consequences as we start to withdraw. So no one will be happy with it, which means it's probably the reasonable solution.
Attorney General?
I think it's going to be Eric Holder.
Sounds like it.
Well, it appears that it is a done deal. But the Obama campaign is very upset that this news got out and that they did not have the opportunity to bring out several at once or to have some kind of big special event to announce Eric Holder, who would, of course, be the first African-American attorney general.
People have said that part of his problems is the fact that he didn't vet the Mark Rich pardon. I think that's a nonsense, a non-starter.
I think a lot of people do care about the Mark Rich pardon, and it'll give the Republicans something to talk about in the hearings. But he was really deputy AG for a very short period of time. He was mostly U.S. attorney during the Clinton years. He's the guy who prosecuted Dan Rostenkowski, who was, of course, a prominent Democrat, chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. So he has some what I would describe as reasonable cred as a fair-minded prosecutor. And I think he'll probably be a pretty good guy for the job. He would have been a sort of automatic guy for the job, except there was some question at one point of whether or not he wanted to leave his current law firm to take the job, and some question of whether they would prefer Janet Napolitano, the Arizona governor, and a big, big supporter of Barack Obama.
And speaking of Janet Napolitano, Roll Call reported this week that John McCain looks like he will run for another term as senator in 2010, and that would probably put him up against Janet Napolitano.
That is correct.
She will be term limited.
Although, you know, I'm going to have to say right now, I'm going to bet my money that he doesn't run.
I agree with you.
I don't think he'll run again. I think he just wants to say he's going to run again because right now, I mean, he's looking very much like a wounded lion and he doesn't want to say, oh, I'm not going to run for re-election. We understand, though, that when the Eric Holder nomination leaked out, Barack Obama got mad.
How can you tell him?
Well, all right, I'm going to do my Barack Obama gets mad.
Okay.
There's only one word to describe how I feel about this. Enraged.
Is that two words?
I can't imagine Barack Obama, Matt. Can you see him storming around the headquarters the way you could imagine Clinton doing?
Bill, I was just going to say.
Clinton,
like
Clinton used to McCain, go absolutely nuclear over fairly small things
or
sometimes.
Coolidge.
Yeah, he would really go crazy.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting that he was upset about the leak about Eric Holder, but he did not react to the leak about Hillary Clinton being embedded for Secretary of State?
And that also did not come from his transition team.
That's my
point.
But
it was much more difficult to deny because it was so clearly coming from Hillary Clinton's own people.
Yeah.
Another shocking incident this week was the denunciation of President-elect Obama by al-Qaeda. And saying that he was, number one, the complete opposite of an honorable African-American, such as Malcolm X, a Muslim, of course.
Really did this?
Yes, he did. And he said, in fact, all Barack Obama amounted to was a servile servant of white people. In fact, he actually used a phrase that would be familiar to a lot of black people, which begins with the word house.
Well, first of all, Obama comes from the Senate, not the House. So I think that that was another one of the al-Qaeda's...
Once again.
You know, I wonder if... This time, al-Qaeda has gone too far. You know something, by the way, before we go, there are some people, the NPR political unit, that I think deserve mention on this podcast. Thomas Pierce. Producer of the podcast. We get a lot of credit from the listener about these great gimmicks, but it is Thomas Pierce who has done
all Thomas's gimmicks. Ah, but then there's Laurel Wamsley.
Oh, yes.
And we remember Laurel very fondly. She did wonderful work. Wonderful work on this podcast. She was a steady hand.
She was. Sean Bowditch. Great producer.
Descendant of the famous Nathaniel Bowditch, who invented the sextant and invented the modern system of navigation by which ships have been navigated ever since. And then, of course, Evie Stone always will be the queen of a...
Evie Stone is not leaving.
She's not?
And Josh Figueroa.
We would not have been to the conventions without Josh Figueroa. In fact, Josh...
Because he drove us.
Josh entered our lives way back in the Iowa caucuses.
Right.
You remember the Iowa caucuses,
Ken?
Josh was entirely responsible for that coming off.
Also leaving us are our two editorial assistants, Natalie Friedman, who left earlier, and Kyle Gaffiol.
Who will leave later.
We're also losing two people who have made our web coverage, our online web coverage, just...
Second to none.
Outstanding.
Absolutely incredible map.
Michael
Reds, blues,
Michael
whites.
Olson ran the map. You
absolutely
know,
ran the
on
map.
On top of everything. Also online, Nancy Cook, who has done tremendous stuff, production work, writing stuff on the web, political stuff.
But who's going to be left, Ken?
It'll be me, you, and... the listener.
And that's it for this week's political podcast.
You can follow NPR's political coverage at npr.org/elections.
I'm Ron Elving.
And I'm Ken Rudin.
Join us again next week. And yes, there will be another week, for It's All Politics from NPR News.